morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes. And again, I have a guest that I've known for a long time. He truly wears the moniker of public servant. And, you know, and today there's a lot of politicians, but I look for public servants. And I have one today with me. His name is John Barrett. You may have known him. He had some job up in North Adams for a long time. And now he's down in Boston, God bless, trying to straighten that mess out. But anyhow, we won't go there. I want to take just 1 minute of the representative's time. I had the honor and the privilege, and it was both were very humbling, to go on an honor flight this past weekend, past Saturday. I was selected, I don't know how, be honest, I guess the veteran, VFW, somebody. But Dick Carrick, worth my weight in gold, was here at the house at 4:30 in the morning, picked my son Patrick, came up as my escort. And I didn't think I needed one until I got there and found out I've really gotten old. But we went to from Albany to Washington. In Albany, I believe it was the Shaker Heights Orchestra from the high school. 6 a.m. they were there greeting us along with many, many people. I don't even want to hazard a guess. Got on the plane, flew to Washington, got on the bus, had wheelchairs for old people like me, and we went to all the monuments. And, of course, the most touching to me, and still is the Vietnam. And I can't say enough about if you can ever contribute to or become part of an honor flight, take it if you're a veteran. If you'd like to help out veterans, it's all free. And there were four of us. There were upstate New York, New York City, Kentucky, and us. Four honor flights coming in from all over the country. And at every memorial was a group to greet us. And as we were getting on the bus to come back, one of the old Vietnam guys turned and said, "Boy, why couldn't have this been like that when we came home?" But it wasn't. But the great part was sitting in the front seats, two World War II veterans, 101 and I think 100. And boy, I want to tell you, that kind of put the frosting on the cake for the old soldier. So I want to thank Representative Barrett for giving me some of his time, but I wanted to get that out. What a magnificent experience. What a magnificent experience. Something I'll never forget. And I got to say, too, thank you to my son, Patrick, who was right there taking good care of me the whole time. So now, without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, my friend, Senator, whoa, I promoted you. Representative Barrett from the Northern District of Berkshire County. How's it going?
It's going good. And let me congratulate you and just say I'm glad you had an opportunity to take that trip to Washington with other veterans, because, you know, sometimes, you know, we have a motto I like to think up here and that they've adopted with the veterans up here. We'll never forget them. And right. And I think that it's probably phrased differently, but I think it was "Let us never forget." And a veteran here started that some 50 years ago, and it just works. And we do a great job up here. I help them and assist them any way that I can, whether it's getting jackets out to veterans at Christmas time or making sure, you know, wreaths across America. We have a great program in North Adams and what they're doing here. We just don't want people to forget. And in this time and age that we live in, we forget the sacrifices that all veterans made, even those that weren't in combat. That's right. give up two, three, 4 years of their life to their country so that we can remain the country that we are. So congrats to you and all the others. So it's
it was a very humbling experience to, especially with the World War II guys. They might have been over 100, but they were full of spit and vinegar. There we go.
Well, we're in Massachusetts. It should be vim and vigor, shouldn't it?
Yeah. I was going to say something else, but I caught
No,
myself.
don't.
But anyhow, so listen, when do you go back in session? Where are you?
I think we're going down another couple of weeks from what they're saying, so we can get this economic development bill passed and out there. There's a lot of good things in it that are very beneficial to every part of the state. It's an economic development bill that that is important to us in Berkshire County because it provides money to. We still have a weak economy in out here in the Berkshires, and despite what they may say. And we're not doing enough. I think it's time for others to step up and start putting some emphasis on what has to be done here. I'm tired of reports saying, well, this is what we did and this is what we're going to do, and then find out very, very little is done. So I think it's very important that we get this economic development bill out. And there's a few other things, too. The climate bill is very important.
Yeah.
I think what we've seen in Florida this past month or so is devastating. But we're seeing it here, you know, when hunters come up to me and fishermen and outdoorsmen and outdoors ladies, they come up and, you know, say, geez, the stream is dried up. We don't have enough snow on our slopes. We're seeing these microbursts that are happening in small communities that are causing really raising havoc. I witnessed one in Adams a few years ago, and I'm telling you, it was probably 100 yards long, and outside of it, there was nothing. But in that area, there's $2 million worth of damage it caused. So we have to address it somehow, some way, but it has to be addressed in a way that it's practical, too. But I think we're moving that way, and I think that's what's held the bill up more than anything else. So, but.
Oh, cool. Well, I don't disagree that we have to do something, but we can't just flick a switch. You know, I've been in, as you have, you and I have worked at developing plans, and they all look good on paper. But I've, as you have, been responsible for implementing them. And that's where the bugaboo comes in and the flexibility. And I hope that this bill gives some of that flexibility for the people that are trying to implement it, because everything looks good on paper.
Yeah, I think we need the cooperation of our utility companies in this. You know, they want to make money, and no one has any problem making money, but you can't do it on the backs of the men and women and the families that are trying to get by. And that bothers me quite a bit. And I've always been concerned about that. So hopefully the DPU is starting to shape up somewhat after we had to go to battle with them in the last couple of years. But at least they're reaching out and they're taking into consideration people that are families, working men and women, you know, across the state who are working hard to raise their families, seniors that are trying to get by. I mean, I've seen some of these electric bills and they're astronomical. They went up by nearly 50%. In the northern part of my district, and but most people are in the aggregation system now, and which saves them 4 or 5 cents on their electric kilowatt hour. So that's helping, but there's a lot more that has to be done. But you just have to make sure that when we're doing things down there, that the people that are writing this bill understand what the impact of it is. You know, I learned a long time ago, before you make a decision or take an action or something, what is the result going to be of that action or that decision? And how is it going to impact it? And I've tried to live by that standard. And then that helps me make decisions that are going to be beneficial to the majority of the people that I represent.
Yeah. And, you know, I believe, and this isn't to put anybody else down, you know, people today, if you say to them, gee, that's a nice outfit. What about my outfit? Yours is nice, too. Chill. You know, I mean, everybody's so sensitive. But what you bring, in my opinion, what you bring to Boston is years of experience in governing at the most delicate level, mayor. Because if it's a pothole or the school's falling down, somehow you have to fix it. And this is not a condemnation of others. It's just an observation of an old guy. I had to clean that up too. But some of them just get elected and they go in, they're in the state house. And it's a big venue with a big building and big initiatives. But John Barrett had to worry about plowing the snow. And who's going to pay for that? And I think that's what you bring. I think that's honest to God. Not because we're friends, but I think some of them there need to do a couple of years as mayor.
Well, it is a position that is most difficult. It's the most difficult position out there. And Silvio Conte had a great line for it. I can't remember it now, but it was about mushrooms being in the closet. And but let me say this about what concerns me, I'm approaching my last rodeo in this game, and I think what concerns me is today's leaders are afraid to ask their predecessors whether they liked them or they didn't like them or they defeated them or whatever.
All right.
Not such as myself. Not that you're any smarter or anything, or other than you've had the experience of seeing what goes on. I don't see much of that. They all want to go out, and I think it's even at the state house. Anybody who thinks they're going to go to Washington, to the Congress or the Senate, or even to Boston, to the state house and the legislature, Senate, and think that they're going to have their name on this great bill that comes out, this omnibus bill, if I can ever say the word. But they say, that's their goal. It doesn't work that way down there. You have to go down there and do what's best for your district and also the other issues which come up there. And that's always been my premise. I'm not a very good promoter. I don't have my name on anything except a chair they left me in City Hall up there in the city council chamber, where there was a lot of battles maybe. Nor do I seek any. I just don't believe in this legacy stuff. I don't believe in, I hope they remember me. I like to live in the now. And get things done, because it gives me satisfaction. I think most of your political leaders want to get satisfaction in knowing that they did a good job and then just fade off. As I said, they always forget. They'll forget you 15 minutes after you walk out. So don't work towards that goal. And if you have a school named after you, a street named after you, what difference does it make when you're dead? I mean,
yeah.
You know, they say, well, it leaves it behind to the family. Well, the family moves on too. It's nice recognition, I guess, when you're here and you can do that stuff. But I'd rather get my awards from Berkshire Community Action, where they, they honor you for helping the less fortunate, from the United Cerebral Palsy Group. Those are the ones, because those are the people that don't have voices. And they're not voters. That's what I laugh at. See, a lot of my detractors say, what does he do? What does he do? They don't have a clue what I do, because I do it quietly. And I don't post too much. I think I got 28 people that follow me on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now. Facebook, I don't post as much as I should, because a lot of that self-promotion is not getting the job done. But I think we need less of that and more of people who are going to ask questions. When I became mayor, I called every mayor in the state when I had a problem about something, if I had to. I became friendly with some very good mayors, and we would talk things. But most of the good ideas that I implemented in the city, everything from Christmas tree lighting. We set the tone, actually, in North Adams at the time. We started to go with a lot of white lights and this kind of lights and the mixed colored lights. And I heard from the people what they liked and they didn't like. But it was changing that, doing different things. We put accent sidewalks in. I said, what the hell's accent sidewalks? And and learning from good consultants who said, when a restaurant owner has a restaurant, they don't want any other restaurant in the area. And these people were saying that's the worst thing you can do. Right. You want all the restaurants in an area so they're clustered together and people will go there to the restaurant district. Same with cultural institutions. You keep them together. You learn those things. But I didn't even know what I never had any background in culture and all those things. But you know what? It became the mainstay of my administration with the advent of Mass MoCA and other attractions. But it also benefited the people in my community, because especially the kids.
Right.
You see, now kids were getting an opportunity to be exposed to the arts. And it, not every kid is a good soccer player or a baseball player or a football player or an athlete. So music was available to them, theater was available to them, and it gave them an opportunity and opened their eyes to other things. The college in the mid-2000s, in the early 2000s, developed an arts management program at MCLA, which is a very important program. And so those are the things that you try to do. And this other malarkey that, you know, I sound like Joe Biden with malarkey, but my father used it all the time. He was a good Irishman.
So did my mother.
but it's a lot of malarkey, all this other stuff. And, you know, let's go have a party and we'll do a downtown celebration. That's great. But you know what? That's to celebrate what you've done.
Exactly.
And not just to have a party. And I think that's create excitement and stuff like that. But that's always been my feeling on it. And, you know, I've always been unfiltered in what I have to say, and probably worse now. But I've had a satisfying career in the sense that, you know, if I made mistakes, I've made more of them. But you don't learn unless you make mistakes.
That's right.
And the politician or political leader that's not being jawed on isn't making any decisions, because if you don't make any decisions, you don't make any enemies. And
right.
And that means that you're not doing your job. So
well, I never forget.
Enemies, I hate to use the word enemies. It's not enemies as much as they don't agree with
detractors.
You. Detractors.
Yeah, I have as you can well imagine, I have a few. I remember what Sister Maria John said. Never forget, everyone's feet are made of clay. And, you know, I never forget mine are. I believe me, I make more mistakes in a day than most people make in a month. But I, as you said, I've learned much more from my mistakes than I have from my successes. And I just, when you were on the mayor's slot, when you fill that slot, a lot got done. And I often say this, you and I have said this before, for the public. I think the world of Jimmy Roberto. I really do. We grew up together. I grew up in the same neighborhood as his saintly wife, Ellen. But when Barrett came down to take over, DPW? I used to say, John Barrett can spot a pothole at 500 meters. Jimmy Roberto could fall into the pothole, because he's a big picture guy. And that's not a condemnation of Jimmy. That's just management styles. John Barrett, with all his years, he learned by doing. That's OJT on the job, but you had a lot of years to practice.
Yeah, but don't forget, let's give Jim Roberto the credit he deserves.
He's a great guy.
He knew nothing about the other part of it, like he knows things that I didn't know. But,
oh, yeah.
And this is what
he brought
me in. He was not intimidated that another mayor was coming in and willing to help him and work for him.
Yep.
The guy that offered me a job, too. But he brought me in and to realign the public services department, as I called it. And we found a lot of things were wrong. Now I understand that they're looking at going back to it, because I think it was dropped during the Bianchi administration, because I had something to do with it, or Roberto did. But a lot of that, if that's brought back, you've got to see, you know, people don't like paying taxes, but they don't mind paying more taxes if they're getting the services for it. and they see they're the stockholders. You know, the mayor is the chief executive officer of a company in a business, and the stockholders are the people who live in the city, and the businesses that are here too. They want to see their value increase, and they don't want to pay outlandish taxes. And that's what I always tried to bring home. So if you give them the services,
right,
and you plow their streets and you fill the potholes and you paint the fire hydrants and you make sure all the hydrants are working and you do those types of things. I mean, even in the wire and alarm division, I mean, we made some changes, you know, in there too, all over. And it was a good system. I wish they had continued it with one division, one person leading that division. They did keep that. To a certain degree, but you can't have the water department fighting with the DPW and the wire and alarm. You have one person that's in charge, all right, who oversees the operation. Then you don't have fighting for budgets and stuff like that. You have one person who is really the administrator of it. And I found that to be successful. But again, I had it in North Adams. We had a commissioner of public safety, but they threw that out. But that commissioner of public safety did the budget for both places, both departments and wire and alarm and, you know, even parking and stuff like that. And it made a lot of sense. And you know what? It worked. It was more efficient and it was cheaper to do. You know, they're talking about in Berkshire County of, you know, looking at consolidating schools. I mean, someone told me the other day there's 19 superintendents in Berkshire County.
That's exactly right.
And should we take a look at it? I don't know if that's the right way to go. I really don't. I'm a little parochial myself, but there comes a point where some of those things have to be looked at and those challenges have to be taken on. And that's the role of the local municipal officials. Everybody comes to me because I was a great foe of Spectrum and before that Time Warner and before that Adelphia, and always went after them and fought them because, you see, back then, a mayor had the authority to do it. A board of selectmen has the authority to do it.
Yeah,
they're the ones that do these contracts. They've been, their hands have been tied more because they can't talk about finances. But you know what? They can talk about other things. You know, and in North County, we've had Channel 4 BZ out of Boston because I fought hard for that.
Yeah.
After I left, and we also had the Channel 5 out of Boston, which is a great channel.
Yeah.
But after I left, they lost Channel 5, which they should have never have lost. I always say if I was there, it wouldn't have happened because, you know, and now, you know, and Channel 4 in Boston carries the Patriots. That was the big thing with the people in our neck of the woods. I don't think they care so much now, but I still get calls on that. Yet it says right on your bill, your local town officials or the mayor is in charge of that. They're the ones that sign the contract and renew the license. North Adams, after I left office, I caught Spectrum violating the license on two different occasions. They could have really have gone after Spectrum and got some money out of it.
Yeah.
The ratepayers. What did they do? They took $25,000 as a payoff and put up an art mural. Whoops, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I got things happen on my my computer here still. But anyways, getting back to Spectrum, they get a settlement of $25,000 one time and maybe $20,000 another time. And I'm saying, you could have really got them. I mean, this is a breach of the contract. And it's just like getting service from Spectrum. You can get service, go right to the Department of Telecommunications and Cable, and you fill out there, I'm not getting any response from Spectrum. You know what? Within 24 hours, those people will have it.
Yeah.
They'll have their issue addressed because they'll pick up the phone and do it. So those are the frustrating things that come along.
But they're the things that, and this is a compliment, you're sensitive to the things that drive all of us crazy. You know, I when you call state office, and you talk with someone, and or they put you on hold, and they tell you, "Well, I'm working from home." Well, when are we going to get by COVID? And I know they're saving a lot of money not renting downtown Boston office space. But that also has a kickback effect, too. But move out of Boston. You don't have to be in Boston. And I don't know how many divisions are still working from home, but I think Amazon has told people if you don't come back, you don't have a job. So,
yeah, I mean, there with state government, there are some that I think they're still home. Most of them have been brought back. But I don't have a problem, even if they did half and half, as long as they answer the phone and get the job done. You know, if someone calls and they have a licensing problem, whether you're an electrician, a nurse, a teacher, you should not have to. That should be taken care of immediately. And people are, because their income counts, you know, we did a lot of things with the LPN situation that were being trained. They were putting in something that they had to go through, which some people early in their life had a problem with. And they wouldn't let them become nurses, or they held it up and all this other stuff. We got that wiped out. We got that wiped out because there's a need for CNAs and
LPN
and LPNs. And so, you know, we tried to help them out, but, you know, it's difficult.
Well, I know you don't have any, but if I was held accountable for all the things that I did in my youth, fortunately, they didn't have the records keeping that they have now. But seriously, I know a young guy, again, a story. When he was 17, he got arrested for marijuana. He at this point in time, he was 49, trying to get the license to run a bar, you know, be in charge of the bar. And they denied him. I mean, dude, he never had another blemish in his entire life. I mean, we got to get, you know, I know I can already see the emails. Now, boy, have you gone woke, you know?
No, I think it's.
I always remember my feet are made of clay. So.
Well, it's, you know, we've all had but for the grace of God moments in our life, and some are more lucky than other, and others are more unfortunate. But the point being is that we have to adjust with the times, and we have to deal with it. And I think that's the role that I like to play. I mean, I have two great aides, and they one's in Boston and one's here, and they handle those constituent problems. They know where to go. They know how to do it. And they know that their boss wants to know about it. And that's me wanting to know if there's been a resolution. If there hasn't, I say, first, copy me on the next email to them and see if that gets their attention. If that doesn't, then find out what their phone number. And I will call them directly. And we usually get it straightened out. But you know what? That I laugh sometimes because they say, oh, you know, he's rough and tumble, he's gruff and all that. Yeah, I am, but I blame my mother and father for that. I can't do anything about that and who I am. But I'm also at the one side of me is very compassionate, understanding to the people.
Yes.
It sounds like a ridiculous problem to some, but you know what? To that person, it's a very significant thing that has to be dealt with. And when we can't deal with it at the state house, we get them off to the right one in the in either Representative Neal's office or off to Markey and Senator Warren, you know, for them to deal with it. And we have a lot of veterans problems on that, believe it or not. You know, so and we settle it out. And they've got a great staff that does this. I mean, you know, you're only as good as the people around you. And I've been fortunate to have good people around me throughout my career, you know, even when I was mayor. You know, I always had a vision for a lot of things, but I didn't know how to carry it out. I had no clue. But this is my vision of what I wanted to see. I'd say, and then I'd hire the people who could carry out that vision. And that's so important. And you get so much more done that way. And we did some creative things when I was in the mayor's office. And you know what? I've done some creative things in the legislature to to get the attention of people who sort of ignore me. I get insulted by that. So that's my ego playing in probably. But
well, all I know is that in this day and age, there's goes back to when I was on Capitol Hill. And I think it might have been Tip O'Neill who originally said this. There are two kinds of elected officials, workhorses and show horses. And if you don't mind, I would like to say that you are a workhorse, as is our Congressman Richard Neal. You don't see him on the Sunday shows and all this glitz and glamour stuff. He's just digging it out every day. He's down there swinging the bat. Never forgot where he came from. You've never forgot where you came from. And so many of the people in Boston go, was that named after John Adams? Because you know how they are. Everything resolves out of Boston. But, John, when we come back from the break, it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. How is the state going to continue to handle the immigration crisis? I mean, you read things. I try to read as much of the Globe as I can in one morning, and then I read the rest of it in the afternoon because that's all I can take. But nationally, we got some real issues. I don't know in this state. I know we're still a shelter state, but there's a lot of people, especially out here, that, you know, and I've said this openly before, we tout, or we say, tout's probably not the right word, we say we are, Berkshire County's an aging community, okay? What are you doing about it? Are there more handicapped parking on North Street and up in Adam? Those are the active, but what's got a lot of the seniors, and they've approached me and some veterans too, what will be the end game for the immigration piece? And I know no one probably knows the exact answer, but what are your thoughts about how the state should approach it? We're going to take a break. I'm here with John Barrett. I called Representative Barrett a friend, and I mean it. And I'm not afraid to say it. He is a friend, but he's also the kind of guy that if I'm off base, he'll tell me. And that's kind of what friendship really is today. Not always playing the game. The other thing is this. I was so despondent the other day. I'm sorry to bring this up and Representative Barrett's time. But when I saw the demonstrations on October the 7th in support of certain groups, it broke my heart. And then what really broke my heart was this. I've been doing this, and I know it upsets some of you, but this is my flag. I put on the uniform. I marched the march, walked the walk. And all I'm asking you to do, you don't have to like it, you don't have to respect it. All I'm asking you to do is not desecrate it. I have friends buried beneath it. I have acquaintances buried beneath it. I have family buried beneath it. And if you want to guess, drive through a cemetery and all these flags you see waving in the breeze, at one point somebody signed on a dotted line that'd give their life for this flag. So don't you desecrate it. I don't think you've earned that right. Sorry, that's my gut. And the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine. And they are my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or Joe Simony, the best painter, line painter in the county. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
What's going on here?
Combining the miracle of modern technology with the secrets of ordinary street junkies. Producing this.
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield. Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to this station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita briancenter.org o namibc.org.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I have this guy. His name is John Barrett. In my opinion, he's one of the most forthcoming, honest, I'm so sick of the word transparent, but he really is transparent. If you don't know, ask around. That's all I'm going to say. He's the North County state rep. He was the mayor of Adams forever. And North Adams. But the bottom line is this: in today's world, I'm going to go back, and I believe it was Tip O'Neill. I could be wrong, but there are show horses and work horses in the political world. I mean this complimentary. Representative Barrett is a workhorse. You may not always like the way it goes. Did I lose you? So. We're back. As I said, this is Representative John Barrett. We had a little kerfuffle there with technology, but we got it kerfuffled out. What's the thinking in the State House or yours on the immigration issues?
Well, as you know, the House took the first action on this when it said, "Okay, to the governor, we approved money for them last spring, more money for her, but basically cut down on the amount of time that they could stay in shelters." Thought that this was wrong, but we had to send a message to the governor, and she has now gone along with it and understands the importance of it, because there has to be a solution. You see, there's no solution. You can't just keep putting people in these buildings that are empty, right. State buildings, whatever it may be, hotels that are just trying to make money off of this deal and closing down their regular hotel and putting immigrants who've come in here. It should be noted, you know, that all of them are legal coming in here, but it's what they're doing at the border that's the problem.
Right.
It's the federal government. And so how we've tried to address it is basically say, listen, get up with the program, but it's not going to be stopped and settled. We thought there was going to be settled this summer when the president came up with a plan. Now, he didn't come up with a plan. The Republicans in the bipartisan effort came up with a plan that would have solved it and stopped the influx of immigrants coming into the country in a way that it could be handled. No immigrant should be here illegally. And that's the bottom line to all this. That would have taken care of it. That was, for whatever reason, Donald Trump said, don't do it. And to the Republicans, and they didn't refuse to go along with it. I don't think anything's going to improve, really improve, until such time that we don't have any place to put them anymore in the state. Right.
Well, that's what I've been hearing from people down there, even relatives.
Yeah.
Saying,
yeah.
You know, there's just no more space.
Yeah, there's no more space. And you know what? Our economy could use a lot of them right now because there's, you know, and certainly my grandparents on both sides came from two different countries. And I don't think there's an American alive that doesn't want us, you know, help them. But we got to do it the right way. We have to make sure that they're legal. And that's what the state has done. We can't continue to spend the money that we're spending on this. And that's what we did. We sent the message to the governor. Listen, you've got to restrict the time, which is going to force her and her administration to go find suitable housing in certain places. And it comes down to that. And it also comes to the point where you just can't take any more than what you can handle.
Exactly.
And the other things that bother me, too, is some of the no bid contracts that were going out. We were very strong that we said to the governor, listen, these no bid $10 million contracts, you know, to produce meals and everything else, the way it's being run, much of the food that was coming in here and or being, you know, delivered to where they were staying. Some of our immigrants were staying. And then they couldn't eat this food because it's not their culture.
And I saw that firsthand because I had to go to Boston to the VA hospital. I'm not going to say where. The Polish princess and I, we stayed, and we were the only reason we got a room was I've been staying there for probably 5 or 6 years, every twice a year. And the guy kind of told us that. They kept rooms. And next to every single elevator were the styrofoam full. The meals were still in them. And you're right. I mean, there was I don't want to say no one did the due diligence, but it to me... and I'm not in this. I'm like you. My both grandparents came from. My aunt got sent back. She was walking down a ramp at Ellis Island, coughed, and they put her right back on the ship because they were so afraid of tuberculosis. But I think what the House and the legislature has done, but I also think too that the federal government's got to kick some money this way too.
Oh, absolutely. They have failed us miserably because we just can't handle it the way it's going now. And we took the action that we had to take for the immigrants' sake and also for the state of Massachusetts.
Absolutely.
I mean, to put them in some of these buildings and put them in deplorable conditions is not my idea of thinking. That's like what they did, you know, during World War II, you know, out in California with the Asian population out there. And, you know, so that's not my game, I'll tell you right now. And I think that isn't the game of the overwhelming majority in the House. And
I
the
agree.
Senate.
Overall majority of citizens, but they want some explanation. They want some really pathways. a term that gets way used way too much lately, but pathways to resolution. And you're right. We could use the people that I just think it was done. I think it was haphazard. Let me to be kind.
Yeah. And you know, our economy depends upon immigrants coming here, legal immigrants. And I stress that.
Yeah.
Were processed and looked at, and a lot of them are sent back. And the fear that's out there now, it's caused by inaction, I think, in a lot of areas. But the federal government, and we've said it right along, you know, you have to help us here and do this right. And I think it will be done, although you have two clear choices.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that. Okay.
My only thing is, I don't think, and I could be wrong, and I don't think there's anybody that has a heart who sees some of these people and understands we all are immigrants. We're all descendants of immigrants. And I don't think there was enough forethought in before they did all this stuff. My biggest fear, is we got a million gotaways. We have no idea who they are or what they're doing. And that down the road could be a real problem. But for the people who came and they just want to work, God love them. And I hope we can, the powers to be in all governmental bodies, get working to solve the overall problem. But I applaud you guys for doing what you did. And I know you caught some back heat from, but somebody had to put the brakes on.
That's all it is. We took the best action that we could at that time.
Exactly.
What it has resulted in is something being done. But it's still, the bottom line is the federal government has to do something and handle the crisis at the border. And you know, there's fewer coming in today, believe it or not, than there were 5 and 6 years ago. And that's hard to believe. It's just like, you know, one presidential candidate says, I'm going to open up and produce more oil than's ever produced before. We now produce more oil than what we need. And so those things are happening. The gas prices went down too, mainly because the president opened up the reserves. And if not, when it was $4 a gallon approaching $5 a gallon, we would be like California paying $6 and $7 a gallon. But right now, Massachusetts has in the Northeast one of the lower gallons.
Yeah, I just was out at BJ's and I was astonished. I forget it was in the threes, but
below the threes now.
Yeah, the only thing is we have to now. You know, I often say this, and boy, I got hammered from somebody who didn't care for it. Probably hard for you to believe. I know. Being a radio host and being a politician, you have to have the skin of an armadillo. But I said, and they said to me, the comment it was, when are you going to stop blaming the government for what the people aren't doing? Well, what can we do? I mean, other than be accepting and supporting, we don't make the laws. You know, like you said, it's reduced. It certainly is. The flow has certainly reduced. Some of it probably is owed to Texas closing their border. But I think some of the people are realizing it isn't the panacea that they thought it was. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful.
I try to be. I try to be fair. And people who trek that trek through that desert, through all the dangers, the cartels, and to get here. As I told somebody, if this country's as bad as you think it is, and this was a person who didn't have a good thing to say, then why aren't people knocking down the door to get into Russia like they are here? But
well, As I tell some friends of mine, you know, isn't it great you can go to a ball game when you want to go? Isn't it great you can go to the movies?
Yep.
Isn't it great you can watch and do just about whatever you want to do within the laws? We're a country of laws, and we depend upon those laws because they protect our democracy.
Exactly.
And I think that that's what it's all going to come back to at some point in time. Hopefully.
Yeah, I'm the eternal optimist when it comes. And like, I don't want people to misunderstand anything that either one of us have said. I personally don't care who you vote for. I really don't. But I want you to vote. And if you don't vote, because here's what I'm hearing, John, both sides of the aisle, I'm not going to vote. I don't care for either one of them. Well, if you don't vote, don't gripe. There it is. That's been my motto on the radio for 20 years now. You don't vote, don't gripe.
Yeah, and I think it's important that everybody read up on the candidates and see what their policies are and get deep into it. But, you know, I was a little disturbed by Mr. Trump when he was putting out false information during this storm, which caused a lot of conflict within his own party. You know, that could cause people to die, and there's no need for that. This is a time
for politics.
That we don't have partisan politics in times of crisis. And that's a time when we should all be coming together. We've seen it happen in our own communities. When someone's hurt or there's a crisis going on, the community usually rallies around them. And whether
absolutely.
It be on a GoFundMe or whether it be providing food or whatever, it's just the American way. And and that's what we have to continue to do. And I'm hopeful that we will.
Well, you know, I've often said Pittsfield, Berkshire County, if someone has a crisis, all of a sudden there's a fundraiser at the Berkshire Hills or the A, or and they raise $25,000-$30,000, or they build somebody's house burns down, they get furniture. I've lived all over the world. You don't see that. And you know, maybe that is parochial, maybe that's New England. Good, because that's when you're down and out, believe me, a helping hand comes a long way. And I've known, and you have, John, people with sick kiddos where they've come together to pay for going, the families going to Dana Farber and whatever. I just think hopefully we'll all come back. And part of it, in my opinion, part of it is they got to get together. Can't have all this vitriol in Washington either.
That's it's got to stop. It's and I hope it does. Like
I hope
I came up through this whole thing over the 6 decades basically that I've been around, and seeing a lot of things, good, bad, and ugly. But you know, in the end, it seems to resolve itself. And but this is a tough time. It's a tough time to be raising kids with social media out there and battling that. It used to be the old days, the parents didn't want to take them to the mall, let them go to the mall by themselves.
Sure.
Now they got their own mall right at home on their phone. You know, where they're communicating with their friends and things like that. And also predators and others that you have to be careful of. So it's a tough time, and the toughest job in my mind isn't being a political leader, it's being a parent. Boy, that's a full-time job. I always said, no matter what income background, and this goes back to my teaching days, that a child may come from, the child that's going to be successful is the one where the parents give them the time. And in this day and age, it's hard to do that. It really, really is.
Yeah. You know, I can remember as a child growing up, 5 o'clock was sacrosanct. You're at the table. You aren't coming. You are at the table. And my brother Bernie got a job, and he didn't get out of work till 5:30. So my mother said, well, we'll eat at 6. And my father said, no, we'll eat at 5. Leave a hot plate on the table on the stove for Bernie. So that, but you don't have that. And you're right. Some of them just can't. Some of them are working 2 jobs. It's a complicated life today for a lot of people. I just quickly, when I was running the Violent Youthful Offender Program, I interviewed every one of them. And I could say between 75 and 80% would never have been there if they had the parents we had. And some of them, it wasn't their fault.
No, it's not the kid's fault. It's just like,
no.
You know, when the workers, it's not the workers' fault. It's the boss's fault. And it's the same thing, you know, with what's going on here. So it's just, I don't know. I don't have a simple answer for it.
But I think what it is, John, is people have to start working together instead of hammering heads. What is the issue? Let's work together. I don't need the points. I don't need the new plaque. I don't. What can we do to make it better?
I think talking to each other is important. I get a lot of calls at my office, and some people disagree with something I've done or want to know something. I call them up. May take a few days, it may be late in the evening, but I call them. And you know, that you get more out of that, and they respect you more for at least talking to them and not running from an issue or a problem. And my last words to everybody, even when I see them, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. And that's all I can do sometimes. But if you talk to that person and they understand and they know they've got somebody to talk to, because you know what, the next issue coming down the road, they may like.
Yeah.
That I'm doing.
Yeah, so you know, I'm so happy you said that, because one of the things that I want to say about our city government, Pittsfield, is I've never called that I haven't gotten a call back within an hour. That's a credit to the city. There's some other places. Just recently, I've called, left messages, and yet to hear. And I do business there. I mean, maybe I don't do all the business, but there's a lot of places to spend your money, is all I'm saying. What's the biggest thing when you guys go back in session, what's going to be the biggest bear in the room?
Well, as I mentioned before, I think dealing with there's a lot of pressure to do something with the climate bill. I think there's a lot of pressure, you know, also to get the economic development bill out, and if it isn't already out. But I think the biggest thing is going to be continued to be the immigration crisis that we face. We have in this state, we have a lot of money in reserves. I think we're close to $8 billion. We can just on the interest we're making there, we can pay our match to programs. But the one that seems to be the elephant in the room is fixing the infrastructure in this state and this country. It is pitiful. We've seen lack of maintenance. We have seen failure to address it. Some of the bridges are, for instance, in our communities are owned by the communities who didn't pay attention to things. And others are owned by the state. And making sure that we address this problem. And I think also we have to look at, should we continue to move in the direction we're moving in education? How are we going to deal with the shrinking enrollment throughout the state, believe it or not?
Yeah.
We can continue to just throw money at the problems. They have to be addressed. And I think the other crisis we face is mental health. We got all kinds of mental health programs. We don't have any funding for them. And they have to be funded. And, you know, and while we have an $8 billion surplus, which is good, and it keeps us that they call it the rainy day fund. Well,
you know,
it starts to rain or you get a shower. You're going to have to fill the void for a while and then replenish that fund.
Yeah.
You can't just throw everything at it. So I think that, and the other thing too is, we have not raised any taxes since I've been there, anyways, in the state of Massachusetts. In fact, it's decreased the income tax is the lowest it I think has been in 30 years or whatever. But it's in the 5% or below area because of the amount of money that we have in surplus that triggers that a lot of that.
Yeah.
But so we haven't raised any taxes. Fees have been, you know, maybe raised here and there. Some of them are ridiculous, but they're not too bad. But there's a lot of things, too, that we have to address. Another thing, too, is I think we have too much bureaucracy. I sound like a Republican here, but maybe we just need some realignment of some of the things that we're doing. But I think it has to be addressed at some point in time.
We got about 1 minute. I want to thank you for coming on. As always, I love your candor. I love your honesty too. But I guess the one thing to just, they either revamp civil service and make it functional or do away with it. Because it's breaking the back of a lot, as you know, the cities and towns can't be waiting 18, 20 months to replace a person. The fire department's got to have so many people on the truck. Police department got to have so many people on the shift.
And that's contract. But I can say this much about civil service. Civil service is on its way out the door. And it's in a couple of my communities, I filed bills because they asked me to eliminate civil service. Yes. It's an old system that's not working any longer, and you don't need it. I believe
that. We got to run. I can't thank you enough. I'll be in touch. Have a great, great legislative session. To all those and to John, God bless. And I know that bugs some of you, but that's what I believe. God bless. And today, do something for somebody. Help somebody lift their load. All we have is each other. Just remember that. We're all in this together. Take care of each other. God bless. Thanks, John. I'll be in touch.
Thank you.